Good morning, everyone. This is Renee in Ohio. Today is Tuesday, March 7th, and I'm working on my second audio blog. I did the first one starting late Saturday night and picked up again early Sunday morning while my husband was in bed because I was a little bit nervous, kind of wanted to get that first one over with, under my belt. So he wasn't aware that I was working on that, and I posted a link to it online on Howard Empowered People. Went off to church with my daughter, who was singing in the choir that day, and was happy to check online and see that some of my friends had some kind things to say about it. It made me feel a little bit better about that first attempt. When I came home from church and walked in the door, Demetrius said, I heard your podcast. I said, oh? He said, that was very brave of you. What made you decide to do that? And I kind of laughed because I was wondering, do you mean brave in the good way or brave in I can't believe you did this really stupid thing kind of way? But he went on to say, well, it's out of character for you. And I have to admit that, yes, that's true. I get nervous sometimes when I have to make phone calls if I don't know somebody really well. I have to psych myself up to do that. And this would seem to be a step or two up that peer hierarchy from that. So obviously I must have some reason to do this that was important enough to override that usual mechanism that keeps me from doing anything that might possibly be embarrassing. I said, well, the short answer is, God told me to do it. Of course, that's not an answer I would give just about anybody else, but my husband and I have talked about this sort of thing before, and he knew what I meant. But typically, if people use the words, God told me to, as justification, it's a little bit scary because sometimes people use that justification for some really bad things. And one example that comes to mind quite easily is George Bush claiming that he was on a mission from God when he started the war in Iraq. More recently, Tony Blair has been in the news, having refused to meet with parents of children who had died in Iraq. He won't meet with them, but he said of his decision to go to war, God will judge me. That seemed to me to be a bit arrogant. I think that humans will have the opportunity, certainly should have the opportunity, to judge him well before God gets around to it. I think that's what elections are for one thing, impeachment for another. But he seemed to be indicating that he had no one to answer to but God, and that's that sense of arrogance that I've seen from George Bush as well. Another thing I found out recently is that Blair apparently joined Bush in prayer at Bush's ranch in Texas in 2002. And this is said to be at a summit where many believe a secret decision was made to invade Iraq. Now there's something really disturbing about that. We know that groupthink can lead to some pretty disastrous decisions. And if you add this kind of religious piece, what you end up with is even more bullheaded certainty that the right decision has been made, because now it's not just a case of we're powerful world leaders and any decision we make must be the right one, but now it's we're powerful world leaders whom God has given his stamp of approval. Susan B. Anthony has been quoted as saying, I distrust those people who know so well what God wants them to do because I notice it always coincides with their own desires. And for me, there's something of a litmus test as I've thought about God's call and how and for what purposes does God call people, that it seems more likely to me to be genuine, again, at least in my life, if it's something that seems kind of scary, kind of out of character. Because after all, if you look at some stories in the Bible, you see that type of hesitation. You see Moses, for example. God calls Moses, and Moses, his first answer is, no, you got the wrong guy. You don't want me. I stutter. I'm not good with the talking thing. Jonah was even a more extreme case, a more severe case of this. God called Jonah, told him to go to and preach in Nineveh. Jonah says, gotcha. Gets on the boat. Sails in the opposite direction. Over the past few years, I spent some time thinking about the whole idea of having a call, figuring out what one's call is, specifically what my call is. And as a person of faith, I don't want to ignore my call. But at the same time, I do know how dangerous it can be if someone is so sure that they're doing God's will, as Bush and Blair claim to be, that they're completely unwilling to reconsider a deadly path. And again, my sense is that a call is more likely to really be from God if it seems a little bit risky, a little bit scary, and yet it just won't go away. It just keeps kind of hanging around and coming back to your mind. I've thought about this idea of discernment, of how do we figure out that call. I've thought about it a couple different ways. A few years ago, when my children were preschool age, they were very fond of a show called Blue's Clues, which at the time starred a guy named Steve, and he had this little blue computer animated puppy named Blue. Steve, as the actor himself has said, was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And Blue apparently didn't have that wonderful, those gnarly lassie powers where all she had to do is say woof woof, and Steve would then realize that Timmy must be trapped at the bottom of the well. So what Blue had to do instead was to leave paw prints, and every time Blue would leave a paw print, and Steve would find it, and all the kids in the audience were supposed to yell out, a clue, and he'd write down these clues in his little notebook at the end of the show, sit down in his thinking chair, and try to figure out, what is Blue trying to tell me? What does Blue want to do? At that time that the kids were watching this show, and I spent a lot of time watching it with them, I was also trying to figure some things out myself as far as my faith, and specifically if I was really meant to be staying in the Catholic Church, and it was hard for me to leave. And I kind of hit upon the idea of, instead of playing Blue's Clues, playing God's Clues. And I was just quite enthralled, enchanted with that idea. I thought it was neat. It was playful. It doesn't have that kind of arrogant, bullheaded certainty to it. There's some tentativeness. But it's playful. I'm in relationship with something other than myself. I'm engaged. And I'm always looking for clues. A similar sentiment, although with a game that's at a lot of higher mental level, was described by Rabbi Lawrence Kushner in his book Invisible Lines of Connection, Sacred Stories of the Ordinary. In a piece called Virtual Reality, he wrote about a game called Myst, which as I started to read his description of this, I had to chuckle because Demetrius has played that game, and I know how many hours you can sink into it, and it's not one I've ever really tried to launch into myself. But what the game is like is you are in an environment. You open it up, and you're on an island, I think. And you move through the island. You move from scene to scene by clicking your cursor, using the mouse to step forward. And what your job is to figure out how the place works, figure out why you're there. Rabbi Kushner thought this was a pretty good metaphor for life and for how we figure out why are we here, what's our purpose, and what does God want from us. And so he said, well, if life was a game like that, what would be the rules? And I'm just going to share a couple of them. One was that we are each given random, undeserved gifts and handicaps throughout the progress of the game, and we need to figure out what to do with those and how to use that to make the world a better place. And another rule was that points are awarded whenever you can discern the presence or the signature of the Creator. And then act so as to help others see it too. The signature is not just an object, but in actions and thoughts and feelings. Not just in sunshine and happiness, but in agony, struggle, and death. Remember, finding the signature and then acting in such a way as to help others find it too is the only way to accumulate game points. So that's the long answer to the short answer of God told me to do it. This is something I was feeling called to do. This is the season of Lent where I often try to do something different, something in addition, rather than sacrificing something. And I look forward to sharing this journey with you. I don't know how it's going to turn out, where it will lead, but at very least, at the end, unlike Bush and Blair and what they said they were called to do, nobody gets hurt. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.